Aquaculture and You, Creating a Sustainable Resource. A production of the University of Wisconsin Sea Grant Institute. The Fishmongers, Part 1, The Willie Street Co-op. In the previous episode, we heard from a number of aquaculture specialists in Wisconsin, talking about the decline of the Great Lakes yellow perch fishery and the challenges of raising perch on farms. We'll return to culturing perch in future episodes, but right now we're going to begin the first of three installments in which we'll hear from some of the people who are most directly involved in supplying fish to consumers, the folks behind the fish counters at local food markets. When I spoke with these fishmongers, I was impressed with the depth of their knowledge and their passion about the seafood they sell. I was doubly intrigued by the recipes and cooking tips which they also shared with me. Oh, full disclosure, I do shop at all of the markets mentioned in the series, and other markets as well. These three markets were chosen as they have all prioritized giving their customers informed choices about seafood. You'll recall that in the first episode, we stressed how important consumer preference is to aquacultural production. As you listen to the fishmongers, keep this in mind. Fresh seafood counters in supermarkets are a fairly recent phenomenon, having become commonplace only in the last 30 or so years. And the ubiquitous fish you see today in those gleaming seafood displays, salmon, was virtually never available fresh in markets before the 1970s, unless you lived on the West Coast or in Alaska. We have an amazing and, I think, sometimes underappreciated food production system that provides us with an amazing variety of fresh fish, a variety that you will soon hear enthusiastically described. All this has occurred because of consumer demand. So when it comes to fish, your choices really are powerful. Hopefully, these podcasts have already helped you shape some of your seafood decisions, and perhaps some of the fishmongers' recipes will help you prepare those decisions in some more interesting ways. For the first installment, we'll start with a market at the local level, the Willie Street Co-op in Middleton, Wisconsin. Founded in 1974, they describe themselves in their mission statement as an economically and environmentally sustainable, cooperatively owned grocery business that serves the needs of its owners and employees, providing fairly priced goods and services while supporting local and organic suppliers. I stopped in to see how that all works with seafood.
My name's Craig Hopkins. I work for the Seafood Center here in the Willie Street Grocery Co-op, the West Side location. The Seafood Center does the seafood service for the Willie Street Co-op and has for about 10 years in both of the locations. It's a separate business from the co-op. We adhere to their standards and provide the best quality stuff on the market to the customers here. I've been back as an employee of the Seafood Center for a couple of years now. It was a job of mine when I went to college, and the recession has kind of landed me back here until I find my way back out. But until then, I am a fishmonger.
First, I had to ask, is fishmonger a derogatory term?
No, it's a person who sells seafood, you know. Ironmonger, fishmonger. Some people wear the moniker fairly proudly, actually. Customers here in general in the co-op are pickier about the things that they consume, and a lot of label reading and, you know, specific concerns about various kinds of things, gluten, whatnot, and that extends into the world of fish. So some of them like wild caught, some of them want to see that if it's farm raised, it comes from the best possible sources. And the things I hear, I guess, are the quality of the feed, the contents of the feed. Some people actually have a concern about treatment of the animals. So we try and stock the best quality examples of the farmed fish that are available. It's actually just kind of like the meat counter. It's all raised for human consumption, but it really is all about how you raise it and how it's treated. There's plenty of examples of farm-raised products, both seafood and otherwise, that, you know, a lot of people won't want to eat. We just don't sell those here. Fish comes in here 6 days a week. Sunday's the only day we don't get something delivered, and most days we get many types of things delivered. Some products are popular enough that we'll get them delivered on a daily basis. Right now, I've got some freshwater fish, I've got walleye, I've got catfish, tilapia, everyone knows tilapia, whitefish, lake trout, and then a bunch of saltwater kind of stuff. Salmons are real popular. We've just gotten into the the wild caught season for the Copper River sockeye salmon. That's everyone's favorite. Scottish salmon, usually we have a couple varieties of that. Right now we're down to the one because one of our suppliers is sort of undergoing a shortage right now. The fish are too small to harvest. So for the last 2 or 3 weeks, we haven't been able to receive from them, but they're a particularly good producer. We've had some king salmon in recently, both wild caught, troll caught, and soon that will also be taken from the rivers. And also some farm-raised salmon, some king salmon. Spanish mackerel, it's a wild-caught product from the East Coast. We try and stock some whole fish here, and right now I've got some little rainbow trouts, which are right now farmed in Idaho, but normally we have a supplier about 60 miles away from here. It's our most local product. They sell up on the farmer's market. And again, same thing as with the other variety of Scottish salmon. They just have been cleaning and the fish aren't quite big enough to sell right now. So temporarily a shortage on those. Striped bass, Pacific cod, Dover sole, Pacific rockfish, a couple kinds of tuna, albacore, some ahi. Right now I've got some sashimi grade ahi tuna in here, which is in market parlance, a 1+ grade, none finer, literally available on the market. And then we get into shellfish. Yes, we've got bay scallops, sea scallops, both wild caught and dry packed, which means there's no chemicals or preservatives added to them. A couple sizes of shrimp, jumbos, mediums, and then clams, oysters, mussels in the shell. Oh, did I say lake trout and marlin? Usually we have anywhere between 15 and 20 different kinds of fresh fish, plus shellfish on the counter on a daily basis. I've been here days where we've got over 20 to confuse people with.
I was curious as to how many of the fish came from aquacultural sources.
Depends on our selection. It varies a little bit, but oftentimes it's, you know, maybe a third to a half. Salmon is the most popular. There's a lot of farm-raised salmon available. A lot of people have an impression of it that it shouldn't be eaten. We'd like to think otherwise. There's a lot of it that probably you shouldn't eat or don't want to eat, but if you buy from the best quality producers, there's nothing wrong with it. And we are buying only, not only here in the Willie Street Grocery, but at our other two retail locations, the top quality stuff. There's no additives, preservatives, drugs, artificial chemicals. And in the case of the product that I don't have right now, it actually is fed a certified organic diet. So it really can't be done any better.
What are people's favorite fish?
Salmon and tilapia. Those are the two big sellers. We have customers who really love whitefish and lake trout. Particularly in the co-op here, we have a contingent of customers who enjoy wild-caught stuff. So the things I just previously said about the farm-raised Scottish salmon, they would reject. And then, of course, there's a contingent of people who really love the milder kind of whitefish, soles, cod, haddock, flounder, and halibut is another big favorite. Despite its price, people fork out for it pretty readily.
Where do your perch and walleye come from?
Lake perch and walleye, yep. Fish fry in Wisconsin. Those are usually coming from the northern or Canadian side of Lake Superior. That's a wild-caught product. I understand there are experiments with farm-raising those things. Right now, we're not buying from those people. The Seafood Center, it was actually Madison's original seafood retailer. Starting in the late 70s, it was the only place you could buy fresh seafood in town, literally. Before grocery stores all came on board with counters and whatnot, a guy by the name of Dick Gardapi and Tom Toniolo and Dick's brother, George, who originally started the business. Only one of those guys still remains, but the company is now owned by some long-term employees. We've been in the business literally longer than anybody else around here, and I guess we still like to think that we do it better than anybody else.
What's the most local fish that you have?
The rainbow trout. Not the stuff I have in the counter today, but they come from about 60 miles away. We only get them once a week, but they sell on the farmer's market and have for years, and we've tried other people's product and really seem to prefer theirs. We also have another product. We've had a little difficulty getting it recently because the demand for her product has outstripped her ability to produce it, but there's a woman who's producing tilapia. There's a few people in the state. They produce a green crop, and that becomes part of the feed source for the animals and the waste product from the animals.
Aquaponics?
Aquaponics, there you go. And there's a producer of tilapia that's about also 60 miles away that we buy from, and it's substantially more expensive than the fresh tilapia we get. This is a really good product. The tilapia here has been profiled by the New York Times, the producer of it, as a really good example of big aquaculture. These people produce tens of thousands of pounds of it on a daily basis and ship it worldwide, but they do a really good job of it. She's a very small operation, this woman, and it's quite a bit more expensive, but we can't keep it in the store. Right now, she can only supply it frozen as well. She's trying to work towards an operation where she can process it in time to deliver it to market fresh.
What percentage of the stock that you're selling comes from aquacultural sources?
I'm guessing it's probably around a third. Let's see. All the shellfish, all the clams, the oysters, and the mussels, those are all cultured in beds and on ropes. Scallops are wild caught. The shrimp are wild caught. The salmon is going to be an aquaculture product. These rainbow trout are. The striped bass, they call it a Suzuki. That's an aquaculture product. The tilapia, of course, and the catfish. Catfish is huge. Louisiana produces tens of millions of pounds a year of that. But there's other things that will make an appearance. Oh, there's a fish called an Arctic char, which is a really nice trout. And that's all farm-raised. Sturgeon, sometimes we'll have that in, and that's a farm-raised product as well. So we have these little cards on the counter. It's a program from the Monterey Bay Aquarium that tries to help customers make informed choices about seafood. So they basically break down things that are commonly available in the market into three lists: best choices, good alternatives, and an avoid list. It's very specific to the type of fish and catch methods and location and whatnot, but you can use this as a resource for making good choices. They take into consideration also some of the contamination issues, which, by the way, people who are concerned about contamination, that's one of the best reasons to consider eating farm-raised fish, because the environments are very well controlled and known and often much, much cleaner than what's coming out of the oceans or the rivers. Anyways. So Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch program, they have little wallet cards you can print and stick in your wallet, and there's an iPhone and an Android app. It's awesome. There's other ones. There's an organization called the Marine Stewardship Council that also will put their stamp of certification on certain kinds of products. We actually will sell Chilean sea bass here. It's still very expensive, but we do that only because there's one source worldwide that we've found that the Marine Stewardship Council endorses. I don't know all the details, but they're able to actually test that these fish are coming from the sources which they expect them to be from, and therefore put their stamp of authority and approval on that product. And you'll still pay $30 a pound for it, but you know it's not coming from black market sources. Omega-3 fatty acids, good stuff for you, and found in high levels in lots of different kinds of fish. Here in the co-op, it's one of the main deciding factors for customers. People buy salmon over and over and over again, in particular because they're high in omega-3 polyunsaturated fats and fatty acids. But there's many other kinds of fish, and here in the co-op, there's a chart on the front of our case that will clue you in on those options. Many other things you can eat that will, in some cases, get you more bang for your omega-3 buck. Herring, mackerel, oysters turn out to be very rich in polyunsaturated omega-3 acids. Rainbow trout, and then, of course, all the salmons. Sockeye, which a lot of people like, is not quite the highest, but still definitely worth your money and certainly the most intensely flavored. And a fish that is really very local and well-known here in Wisconsin, Lake Superior, or a lot of people know it from Lake Michigan, whitefish. If you've had that in a Door County fish boil or supper clubs around, that's almost always on our counter in one form or the other. And that turns out to be very, very high in omega-3 fatty acids. So there's a lot of different ways for you to get those things in your diet with lots of different kinds of flavor. And in some cases, the fish are going to be lower in cost than salmon as well. Sardines and mackerel, also very high. Sardines are kind of hot in the market these days. They're intensely flavored, but really easy to prepare, and the people who love them just go crazy for them. They're also super plentiful in the oceans. I've read that next to the great caribou migration across the Arctic tundra, which can be seen from satellite, that the next largest living thing that can be seen from space are schools of sardines. Millions and millions of them swimming around the oceans. Farm-raised salmon are usually higher in fat content. That makes it richer and moister, and a lot of people actually prefer it. I know you said you really liked it, Chris, and it's a little milder in flavor too, which some people appreciate. And for certain kinds of things, I think it's superior. My favorite salmon.
Teriyaki marinade.
Yeah, teriyaki, the classic Japanese thing with just a nice piece of salmon. Can't be easier or more delicious. I think my favorite salmon, I don't have any right now, but there's a farm-raised king salmon, which is a Pacific species of salmon that comes from British Columbia, that is like butter. It's just super moist and succulent, and you get this nice balance of everything. And I like mackerel a lot too. Have you ever had mackerel teriyaki? Try that. It's super yummy. And then there's another way that I've known for a while. It's another Japanese treatment of mackerel that's called shioyaki, which is sweet rice wine or mirin and sea salt. Put it in a bag and put your fish in there just for a little bit. And then grilled is probably the best, but you can broil it that way too.
Before I left, I asked Craig what he thought the biggest challenge was for aquaculture in today's markets.
Honestly, standing here and talking to customers, and this is more of an issue here, I know, in the co-op than in other places, but in the co-op here, it's just an education issue. People still see farm-raised fish as a bad choice because, you know, they've heard on Good Morning America or in the mass media, you know, they've heard people go on and on about mass market farm-raised salmon and shrimp, particularly Asian shrimp and tilapia. And those are probably three of the most popular seafood products in the market overall. Anything that's popular is susceptible to people wanting to just pump it out quick and make a bunch of money on it. So they cut corners and they do things that the smarter consumers, the ones who are concerned about health and whatnot, don't want to eat. The media is right to warn people about those things because it's out there and there's more places where you can buy that than there are places like this. But that doesn't mean that good quality options don't exist. And as people continue to learn that there are good farm-raised options and accept those, the market will only increase. Seafood is being consumed at a greater rate all the time. The stock management in the programs in the so-called wild-caught product, they do a good job, but we killed all the buffalo, and we'll do it to the oceans as well if there are not, in part, other options to supply the appetite for seafood worldwide. So farm raising is a good thing, and I hope that people learn about it and learn to embrace it with the right knowledge.
This recording was produced by Chris Bocast for the University of Wisconsin Sea Grant Institute, 2012. Thanks for listening.